Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Ed Zwicky, and please. blogtalkradio.com/police-talk-radio. That's our chat room. blogtalkradio.com/police-talk-radio. And our phone number, if you want to join us, you have something to say, you want to call in, our number, it's easy. It's 646-929-0909. Easy number to remember. I'll give it to you again. 646-929-0909. And with me, as he is every week so far, is my executive producer and chief engineer, Junebug, I call him. Jimmy, he's a railroad cop. Great guy. Known him. Oh, man. I've known him too long. I don't know if there's such a thing as too long. Probably close to, beyond 35 years. I know that for sure. But anyway, one of my best friends, he's with me. He's our executive producer on Police Talk Radio. And I want to talk a little bit about the 19th of September. That was just this past Saturday, and it was a very special day. That was a day, that is a day, to thank police officers for what they do. That was the day. I cannot believe all the people, what they did. If you want to check it out, you could go to our Facebook page. We're on Facebook. The best place to go is Police Supporter. That's where I had most of it, on Police Supporter. And go under the events area and just click on National Police Supporter Day. And you will... not Police Supporters Day, Thank a Cop Day, excuse me, Thank a Cop Day, Thank a Police Officer Day, that's even better. But you'll see it there on 19th of September, and look and see what everybody did. Everybody went above and beyond the call of duty. My son's a police officer in one of the Milwaukee suburbs. He's a school resource officer. Friday, he kind of forgot about this. People, all kinds of people and kids were coming up to him and thanking him. And he's wondering, what the heck's going on here? What the heck's going on? Then on Saturday, he's getting emails from everybody telling him, thank him for what he's doing, thanking him for his job, from parents, from the kids at the school, from teachers. He was blown away by it. And it's just a grassroots movement that we started. We had a lady, Caroline Allen. A wonderful lady, a great friend. She kind of grabbed this and took it, grabbed the bull by the horns and slammed that bull down and pulled this thing off, people. Made it absolutely wonderful. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what people were doing. They were going up to police officers. We had this, and you could still do this. We have an ongoing theme for police officers, what you could do. We're calling it Operation Blue Blitz. That means the best thing, you know, we got to have names for all these things. Like, you know, we're quasi type of governmental almost, used to be operation. We had Project Blue Lifesaver. That was the main thing for September 19th. That was people getting rolls of Blue Lifesavers, or they couldn't get some of them. Some of the people even made their own labels, and they gave them lifesavers that were wrapped in plastic. They weren't in the rolls. I guess you could buy them by the box. And they put the cards in there and gave them to the police officers. And I'll tell you, I got some of the responses from some of the officers. Caroline sent 50 to all 50 states, thank you cards, and some lifesavers. And she got written replies from people, and it just it just blew me away. So you can make a difference. They say police officers are doing that job as a thankless job. Just this past week on Tuesday, we had two North Las Vegas officers shot. Fortunately, they were not seriously wounded. In fact, they were released from the hospital when they were hit with a shotgun. And the guy that they confronted ended up on a slab going to the medical examiner or the coroner, wherever it was. And then probably after that, prior to that, he had a one-way ticket to hell. And so what? And then on Tuesday, yesterday, we had a deputy sheriff that was executed. Guy came up behind him, shot him in the back of the head and in the back, got to the hospital, he died. Officers confronted, this is county sheriff's office in Florida, they confronted the POS, you know what that means. They confronted the POS, and he got into a bit of a gun battle with him, and that was one bad guy lost big time. He's on his way to join the first guy in the fires of hell, and no officers were shot in addition to the one deputy sheriff that was killed. Jimmy, you got something here? My June bug. He prefers June bug. You know, I call him Jimmy once in a while, but I know he prefers June bug. What do you got going on here, June bug?
We got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, who we got here?
Hey, Ed, it's Carolyn. How are you?
Oh, very good, Caroline. I was just, you know, blowing the trumpet on what a great, great job you did with Project Blue Lifesaver. And I don't know if we could have pulled it off without you, young lady.
But it was
very
rewarding.
And where did you send some of these things out? What did you expect, Caroline? Tell us a little bit about what went on and what you expected and what you got in return.
So I did send out to 50 random, to all 50 states in the United States to cover it. I really wasn't expecting to hear back, but just basically I sent a card saying thank you for your service and protection with the Lifesaver. And I did hear back from a couple of chiefs of police who were really grateful for the thoughts. So it went very well.
You know, and I know you sent one to my son, too, and it kind of took him by surprise, too. And I was saying everybody at the school was thanking him on Friday, and then he got all kinds of emails on Saturday. And about it. So I can't believe, Caroline, what you did and what some of the people did. We have a, on the police supporter site, it's under events. You go September 19th, Thank a Police Officer Day, and you could see what the people did. It'll blow you away. Go to Police Supporter on Facebook, and you'll see what we're talking about on events. Caroline, and you know what? You made a big difference to a lot of police officers in this nation. You made a big difference, young lady.
Thank you. Well, this was a really very neat kind of experience for me as well. So I also went to the station and handed them out, and they were really very grateful. So, but I think more than anything, just my own experience, I had called 911 at one time because I went through a difficult situation and I had two officers show up. So I took this opportunity to meet them personally after this event to be able to say thank you. I was invited back, so I think that's a good sign.
That is absolutely wonderful. So, you know, when we were talking before, your contacts with police officers in this nation, one of the worst things that they did for police officers is give them the responsibility for traffic tickets. There's a lot of confusion on that, or a lot of dissension on traffic tickets. Probably the worst thing they could do for police public relations. But your contacts with the police over the years have been very positive, have they not?
They have, yes.
And that's a good thing. And most of the time, you know, I don't know anybody. You say, well, they're going to give you a break. Their job, you know, they got to enforce the law. They got to enforce it to the letter or the spirit. Let me tell you, and when I was the chief of police, and I'm not there anymore, so I don't know what they're doing now, but I had a thing for speeding tickets. They had to be at least 13 miles over the limit before they got stopped for speeding. You don't even stop them at 12 or 11. 13, why 13? Because that's an unlucky number. Tell them that's your unlucky number. But most of the time, they were beyond 13. And people will argue, they'll say it, you know. And we're going to see. I'm going to give you a prediction here, Caroline. I'm going to put
okay.
my crystal ball in front of me. Let me put my wizard hat. Let me give a little rub on the head to Coco the Wonder Dog, who's my police my police poodle, I call him. And give Coco a little rub on the head here. And I'm predicting that officers are going to give much fewer tickets in the future. Not a lot of tickets at all. Does that mean people will get less tickets? No. I predict that people will get more tickets, more traffic citations. How? All the stuff they got now, license plate readers, you blow a stop sign, you get a ticket in the mail. You speed, you get a ticket in the mail. Your registration's expired, you get a ticket in the mail. It's all going to be all the computers and all the, even license plate readers, police officers are out there patrolling the highways, and they will come up with a license plate reader. In fact, the guy that killed the people in the church, in the black church, a terrible, terrible thing. No, it wasn't him on a license plate reader. It was the guy that killed the two news people. He killed
mm-hmm.
people. And a female trooper, the guy's, the bad guy, his license plate came over and they have entered it in the system and it popped up on their automatic license plate reader, which is a
wow.
wonderful thing, getting people for all kinds of crimes and whatever. But I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, Caroline. I think there's going to be a lot less traffic citations personally issued by police. They'll get them in the mail, but it'll be like, I don't know, somebody assigned a court officer or somebody. But I don't know what's going on. But, you know, right now, though, all the stuff the officers are going through, I look back at even 2010, we had 6 Chicago police officers killed that year, and one guy was just sentenced for killing him, and he got life plus 115 years, and his widow is just broken apart about it. And
mm-hmm.
they say justice should be swift or certain. This is 2015, and that happened in 2010.
Wow.
What do they talk
yeah.
about in certain justice? We have some problems in the system, but you know, this. I don't want to go on that. I just want to say the show of police support by people across the nation. I went to the events. I could not believe all that went on. They got the media there. Some of them, they got news crews there. It was absolutely wonderful, Caroline. And you're the, you know, I'm kind of a one-man show doing what I'm doing, like you are in your support of military, supporting military and their families. Is that correct or a correct way to say it?
It's supporting our troops and their family. And there's really a strong emphasis, not just the military end, but really the law enforcement officers who are on our homeland, because they are dealing with a lot of domestic terrorism that's going on now.
You know, you hit on that, and you're right on target, because our warriors going fighting on another land, are the military, and supporting our troops and their family is really important. But they don't have many confrontations going on now. But what they do have, oh, I hear that music. That means I got to take a little bit of a break here. Caroline, stay with us.
Okay.
And we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk a little bit. I'm going to give you website, not on police support. Go to not on Facebook, but on www.policesupporter.org. We've got absolutely gorgeous T-shirts. These are heavy, what they call magnum weight, thick T-shirts, 100% pre-shrunk cotton, royal blue, and over the left breast area, it has the Police Supporter logo, and right below it is policesupporter.org, right below it. A absolutely beautiful shirt, wonderful looking shirt, and we got these out there. We got to make a little bit. We're not. I see shirts like this selling for $29.95. We're charging $9.95. Yeah, and very thin. We just we're filing for 501c3. It's in the process, and we're waiting to see what goes on, and hopefully that will be. But you'll support our efforts here. We also have a book called American Blue. American Blue is a fascinating book. I'll tell you why. It was written, I wrote two stories, but every other story in there is from an additional sworn law enforcement officer. Male officers, female officers, minority officers, federal, state, county, municipal, all different areas. Some of the stories will have you holding your sides laughing, and some of the stories will have you in tears. And it's a full range. It's like a roller coaster ride of human emotion. That's what that is. The name of the book is American Blue. It goes for $24.95, but we're selling it at $9.95. You'll see it. Go to policesupporter.org, policesupporter.org, and you'll see it there, American Blue. And you will take a ride in the full experience of being a police officer in this nation, from all the way from
there's a hold up
different
in the Bronx, Brooklyn's broken out in
fire. Oh, no.
There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's
all right, I got a little car 54 here. That's my executive producer, Junebug. He always likes to throw one at me. I knew that one right away, though. And car 54, where are you? Now, Jimmy, everybody out there, listen, I've been around a long time, but not that long. I remember seeing it as a small child. I was a small child back then. I'll tell you my age. I'm 49.99 plus, and I'll leave the plus up to you. But anyway, we're at Police Talk Radio. We're talking with Caroline Allen about Thank a Police Officer Day and what a wonderful thing they're doing. And Caroline, we want to keep up these efforts. We don't want this just to be one day a year. I'll tell you, you say police officers, a lot of people say, oh, they don't get killed that much. But let me tell you, I had a discussion, Caroline, with a SWAT officer. And I said, boy, you guys, I was on a SWAT team, but I had a lot of search warrants when I was a narcotics cop in Chicago. I was the hammer man, put the big guy with the hammer, big target at the door. That made sense. Anyway, what happens is that when we're looking at the police function and what officers go through, he told me, this officer, tactical officer, the SWAT officer, said, you know, we're prepared for it. We have a battle plan. We have action. And he says, you know, what's tougher is the officer out there on the street stopping somebody for looking suspicious, think that what they call a Terry stop, you believe a crime is, it's a reasonable suspicion that a crime just occurred, is occurring, or will be happening, did happen, or in the process of happening. Under the Terry versus Ohio is the case under U.S. Supreme Court, and also traffic stops. And I remember a few years ago, many years ago, this is probably in the 1970s, I was coming back. We stayed at a friend's house, had a raucous New Year's Eve party, and we came back. We heard on the radio two police officers, two deputy sheriffs in Oklahoma, or no, Tennessee, I think it was, stopped a guy, or no, the guy didn't stop, found the guy broken down on the side of the road. That was an old-timer, 79 years old. Said, sir, can we help you? We'll take you over into town. So he gets in the back seat. This is why police officers want to search somebody. If you ride in their car in the back seat, they didn't search him. Figure, 79-year-old guy, what's he going to do? Had a .357 Magnum in his shoulder holster and killed both deputies. And the guy was senile, had Alzheimer's. What are you going to do with the guy? And it's the unknown which goes to the police officers, the what if. And we tell officers, I ran a police academy, we tell officers, what if you have plan A? Would you have plan B if what if? And you always got to keep your guard. A little tiny woman under 100 pounds, 5 foot tall, she could pull the trigger as much as a 6 foot six, 310-pound professional linebacker in the NFL. Just as easy. But we perceive that big guy being a a worse threat than the little person. When it comes to a firearm, it makes no difference, Caroline. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and I think that especially in light of everything that's going on nowadays, it just doesn't leave much room for error. You got to be safe. You got to go home, and you got to do whatever you can to do that.
Now, you deal with a lot of people with PTSD. Is that not correct?
Yes.
And that's a, you know, I get memories sometimes that come back to me from 35 years ago. I'll get a memory. I'll get a memory from 40 years ago. It'll come up in my mind, and it, you know, I'm dealing with, it's okay, but with police officers, they deal with the, most of the time, I make a little light of it, but they're not social surgeons cutting the cancer from the body society. They're social proctologists. And what I'm saying is they see the worst society has to offer. They see dead people. They see nasty people. They see children beaten by their parents, a wife beaten by her husband, a husband even being beaten by the wife, people getting jackrolled, strong-arm robbery, beaten half to death for $1.83. And you don't think that has an effect on you? Caroline, when you...
No doubt,
I don't want you to trigger or anything, but you know what I'm talking about with that. Those things, those memories, they don't go away. They're still there. You can't just, like, put a electrode on your head, push a button, and the memory's gone.
Right.
And I
think the other challenge that they really do face is when you're dealing with people who are not stable. You know, there are times where I've had to do duty to warns where people will threaten dangers, and sometimes the police are the targeted person, and it's a horrible situation to be put in. And you always hear, you know, police being criticized so much. Well, this person was mentally ill. I know from working with them, they can be very, very unsafe, and you have to do what you have to, again, to go home at night. That's important.
And, you know, mental illness hits different people in different ways, too. Some people, if you reached out to them, they're relatively cooperative. Some people, I don't care what you do, they have this fire in their eyes. And I dealt with, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'2" plus, and I'm about 250 pounds, and not as much muscle as I used to have, but I dealt with little scrawny people, and they got strength that's unbelievable. I don't know how that happens. I don't know if they get a big dump of adrenaline from the, you know, endorphins are kicking in, beta encephalins, all these hormones are kicking in. I don't know what it is, but you deal with them, and they're like having superhuman strength. I can't believe it.
The other thing that we were seeing a lot in the hospital is they come back very often with positive labs from amphetamines. And so very difficult to reason or do much of anything. They are dangerous, but there's really no doubt. I mean, in the hospital, often they have to be restrained before, you know, intervention can even be involved. So I can't even imagine really being on the front lines of having to face or deal with a lot of that.
And you know, and police officers, they get a regular diet of that. Even if you get a good person, and this is what they call it, suicide by cop, Caroline.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I say it's not a suicide. We have an intentional taking of a human life by another human life. It's a homicide, and that's what it's classified. It's a justified homicide, but it's a homicide. And this officer finds out, and typically what some of these things happen, this guy's got a job. He ends up losing his job. There's cutbacks. Doesn't have enough money. His wife and kids can't support him. The wife is angry at him. The kids are angry at him. He starts drinking. One day he just had enough. Just that's it. And he wants to die, but he can't pull the trigger himself. He can't. What does he do? He even had guys do this with empty guns, which the police officers do not know if it's an empty gun. So
right.
Open the... I want to see if it's empty. No, that doesn't happen. And they deal. If somebody points a gun at me, and your reasonable perception is, that's a firearm going to kill you. And cops will kill the person, sometimes an empty gun. Then they find out the guy they just killed is a decent guy. He just had a real bad day. And I always say it's a long-term solution to a short-term problem. And that's what that that homicide by cop. And that officer lives with that because he finds out he's not a bad guy. Maybe he could have did something, didn't have bullets in the gun. And that officer, I'm telling you, and you know what I'm talking about, they go through living hell. They're you know, this isn't like you're dealing with some scumbag, you know, just, you know, shot somebody and robbed the bank or something. And, you know, I shot a guy with a 12-gauge shotgun, and I felt good about it because he was a bad guy going to shoot me with a sawed-off shotgun. I had no problems from any of that, no flashbacks. But, you know, some of the things when you're dealing with decent people on a bad day, Caroline, most of the time, and this is fact, within 5 years of an officer shooting and killing someone, that officer leaves the police department. Over 50% leave the police department. And why would they leave? Because it eats at them. It's, you know, they say, you know, bullets will kill you quickly, but when you get that PTSD and you get things eating on you, those are slow-moving bullets. I mean, am I not pretty? Yeah, I know this is your area of expertise.
Yeah, but I think the biggest thing, though, too, is I mean, you can't be pulling a weapon on a police officer and expect that they're not going to defend themselves. It amazes me what I'm seeing on TV. I mean, if any one of those news people were in the position that a police officer was in, I think we would be hearing a different story. You know, it's just kind of unreasonable to expect that you're going to threaten an officer with a deadly weapon, especially in light of everything that has happened, and that they're not going to defend themselves.
You know, I want to recommend to people, if at all possible, if your police agency where you live has a Citizens Police Academy, it's called, and they usually go like anywhere from 4 hours a night for 10 weeks or 8 weeks or maybe 4 hours on a Saturday, whatever. It usually runs anywhere from 30 to right around 40 hours, give or take a little bit. Let's put it that way. And first who goes through this are citizens. And they're kind of pro-police. They want to go in there, and they become even more pro-police. But what's amazing is that people come into this that don't like police officers, or they'll have local media that do not like police officers. They have this preconceived notion that cops are horrible, and they'll go through a Citizen Police Academy, and Sun Tzu in his Art of War stated, if you turn an enemy into a friend, you have a friend for life. And what happens then, some of the community activists or people that are don't like the police, or maybe a media person, they go through this and they have an epiphany. They are an absolute, I mean, this is a revelation to them. They can't believe it. And they're shooting everybody. They threw firearms training simulators. They'll put them through scenarios with what they call simunition, and it fires with a special gun, and you actually get hit with it, at least like kind of a pink soapy thing, and it won't leave a mark, but your skin will be ripped, that's for sure. You want to have good protection, face mask and whatever, but you go through these situations and you see what police officers go through. I mean, it's easy to criticize, and police officers should be accountable. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but when I look at what they do, here's a term that should guide them: reasonable. Is what they're doing, is it reasonable? And what's reasonable? Is it within the parameters of a trained law enforcement officer, what that officer would do? And that doesn't mean what I mean by that is one person can use a baton, another person pepper spray, and another person punch, and all those are all reasonable. And that I'm talking non-deadly force. And they say, well, the guy only had a knife. You know how much the wound needs to be in the neck? 3 millimeters. That's it. A death. A 3 millimeter puncture in the neck, a wound, a slice, a cut. 3 millimeters can be fatal. And you see the knives they use for autopsies? Those aren't huge knives. They don't pull out a butcher knife. They're small knives. And you say, oh, he only had a knife. You know what? What people don't understand deadly force, when you meet a threat, two things you do. When you non-deadly force, all you're doing is slowing the person down. You aren't stopping his bodily function. If someone's attacking you and use deadly force to stop somebody, If someone's attacking you with a knife, do you want them to stop or do you want them to slow down? I know what I do. You know, they just brought a knife to a gunfight. That's what happened. And I'm not for killing people. That's not what I'm saying. But can you bet your life on it? And other people are dependent on you, your family, your spouse, your children. The young officer, female officer in Omaha, Nebraska, and she was killed a couple days before she was supposed to go on, I believe, maternity leave. And she was killed. Terrible thing. Caroline, what are some of the effects of post-traumatic stress disorder? What do you see? I'm not saying specifically for people exactly bringing up a case, but in general, what do you see from PTSD?
Well, I mean, if somebody has had repeated exposure to this and, you know, they've had some bad outcomes or even what they're seeing on television, people kind of get in a phase where they're going to react. They're more in a reactive phase, and they will do it out of a sense of safety. Because, you know, it's known, I mean, for people who've gone to war, I mean, they're fighting for their lives. And I don't really see it, and it's not any different to police officers. There's just one thing that I am really seeing is the challenge where when you're a soldier at war, you know the enemy, you're prepared for it. But when you are out on the street and you're pulling somebody over or you're trying to work with them, you don't always know whether this is, you know, somebody who's going to be a risk or somebody you should be pleasant to. That's a challenge for police officers.
That's a tough road, is it not?
It's a significant one, and that's what I'm really seeing. I think that a lot of times, you know, people make it this kind of idea, well, the police are mean or this or that, and I don't think that they have a clue of what they are experiencing or even, you know, I don't even think they know how to be prepared for each case. It's you got to really just use your judgment to the best that you can.
On Facebook, it's amazing when a cop does something on Facebook, all these experts come out and say, oh, the cop should have this, should have that. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't consider things, but, you know, sometimes what you read in the media is not what really happened.
Yeah.
The one thing that
I did see in practice that we're probably not hearing a lot about, or we even have, is when somebody does use a substance like an amphetamine, it does alter them significantly. And that power that you were talking about in the rage of coming at an officer, you have to defend yourself. You have to even in the hospital setting, these people were not safe. And I don't think, on the street, you don't even know what, you know, if they've used a substance or not, but it does make a difference.
You know, and when in the hospital I see, and I've seen it in the past, I don't think they still do it, when they got somebody mental and they're going to move them, they come in with some two industrial-sized gorillas, I mean, some big guys, you know, that are there. I don't know if they hire them by the pound or what, but these big guys come in there, and they know this person is going to, you know, mental. They don't know if they're going to cooperate or not. And they go in with two people like that. And a cop playing on the street is by his or herself. They're alone.
Right.
And what the heck do you do? I mean, do you have a plan B? And you're, these things are going in your mind, or you see, I'll tell you, things that horrified me. I still got images of it. When I saw dead children, dead children really bothered me. You know, dead people in general, yeah, also. I could have went to the homicide unit when I made detective, and I didn't want to go. I didn't want to deal with that. And the guys that deal with homicide on a diet, a regular basis, two things you become. You become either hardcore, you're so put up such a wall it doesn't bother you, or you internalize it, and it eats away at you, and you don't display it. And every so often, at one time, a good release of post-traumatic stress disorder was alcohol. Great release. Great way to deal with it. The problem is the alcohol becomes a bigger problem also. Now they're finding things with therapy. One time, Caroline, in your line of work, if a cop, when I was a cop in Chicago, if you ever went to a therapist or a counselor or a psychologist, you were known as a head case, and no one would want to work with you. And no one.
Right.
They've changed that today. Thank goodness, Caroline. Have you seen that? Have you seen that label sometimes where they're a little bit frightened to get counseling?
Yes.
And how do you turn them around? What do you do to turn them around?
Well,
how
I mean,
get
usually.
Them? Go ahead.
Everybody's human, and people are going to have reactions, and it's important to get the care that you need so that it doesn't get worse. So I think it's just kind of really focusing on. Sometimes you're put in these circumstances that are horrible, and the most reasonable thing you can do is to deal with it before it gets worse.
Yeah, and when you deal with that, it's going to get worse before it gets better. That we do know. And I've seen officers on the job lose it while they were on the job, and they had to take the guy away, and that officer had a gun. And they had a disarm. I mean, luckily the one that I saw, the guy gave up his gun, but the guy was rattled. And then they straightened him out, and then no one wanted to work with the guy. And, if anybody, here's a guy that handled it, and they find out what the problem was. And if anybody is going to be psychologically better, it's probably this guy because he got professional help.
Right.
And and our officers, a lot of people, they say empathy, and empathy, the cops ought to empathize. That's true. But how many people empathize with the cops? How many people, you kill somebody, you shoot somebody, many times, depending on the character of the person, many times you will get rattled. You will get rattled. Like I say, it's a decent people sometimes you find out. I mean, if you kill a real bad guy, most of the cops I know, at least they say it didn't bother them. Now, whether it did or didn't, I don't know. But they say it didn't bother them. Now, when you're dealing with people with PTSD, how long do some of their memories go back when they dealt with that?
It depends on really the person, and it depends on, how active they are in kind of staying with their coping mechanisms. But I mean, one of the things with post-traumatic stress disorder is it can, it can happen from years back. It doesn't usually go away. If you have a diagnosis of it, it doesn't go away. And so there are different moments where something may happen and it's going to trigger you back to that moment.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to throw out our number here. I guess one thing I got an interesting guest like Caroline, and I want her on the line with us, but I'm going to give you our number. It's 646-929-0909. Police Talk Radio is the show. I want you to go in the chat room and go to blogtalkradio.com/police-talk-radio, or give us a call at 646-929-0909. I have Caroline Allen on the phone, a wonderful lady that has a that really has a really great heart. All right.
That was an accident, Ed.
Okay. You got someone there?
No, that was an accident.
Oh, he hit the... See, my chief engineer, my executive producer, Junebug, Junebug had a bug in the things, playing a little bit of James Bond music. As long as he don't play Secret Agent Man.
I want to jump into the conversation a little bit. Caroline, I'm...
Junebug's on with us.
I want to jump in here for just a second. I'm 100% disabled veteran. What you do for military families and what you do for our kids that are coming back. I'm a Vietnam veteran. And my disability is not PTSD. I got exposed to Agent Orange and have some medical problems because of that. But what you do for American military families, the troops, the kids coming back, can't be ever repaid. We don't do enough for our veterans, and we don't have enough people like you that are taking care of these kids coming back, especially the PTSD sufferers. I go to VA clinic all the time. Sometimes I looked at it and I said, what am I doing here? I mean, I feel relatively fine, but you know, when I had to go through my evaluation, the PTSD I suffer is not from my military experience, but I've been a cop for 40 years too. So, but I just want to personally thank you and jump in on it. And I do also want to add something to the conversation. We're talking about law enforcement officers, and there's a great number of law enforcement officers that have lost their lives this year. But an interesting fact that I just came up with, that I just saw, and this is on an Officer Down memorial page, it's odmp.org. 25 law enforcement canines have lost their lives this year. I don't know when they started tracking that, but I think that's pretty interesting, because those 25 dogs, if you've ever had a chance to work with a dog, not as a handler, but just as a cop, that's a saving grace coming over the top of the hill. I mean, if you're fighting with somebody and that dog's coming at to save you, you can't reward these dogs other than give them doggy treats and stuff like that. But I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing to throw into there. So I'll let you go back, Ed. I'm sorry.
It's very interesting. Actually, when I was working at one of the hospitals, they did have a dog as well. And they did, when sometimes some of the patients would really, whether they were, you know, a significant danger, they did bring the dog. And it seemed to calm things down quite a bit. So I guess what I find amazing about the whole thing with the animals is it seems like our society, there's no doubt animals do a great service, but they seem more offended when a dog is killed than a human being.
You know,
you're
Caroline,
absolutely correct.
I when I was a chief, we had a case of child abuse, I mean, serious case of child abuse. We had a little bit of a thing going on, not all that big of a deal. One guy, his wife tied the puppy to the back of his bumper just to keep it there so it wouldn't run away. Never said anything to her husband. He gets out there and drives the car. And I don't know if you remember that, Jimmy, when I was the chief in Silver Lake, and the guy dragged the dog, and the dog was ground down to nothing. He felt horrible, and I'll tell you what, that we got so many letters at that time. There was no computers, you know, you just didn't use them, but we had people sending letters like nasty things. They'd see them on the street. They'd call them, the guy call them puppy killer. And our officers were worried about this guy. It was not a police officer. This happened to one of the citizens. He ended up moving. And I was talking with him, and he's moving. I said, why are you moving? He says, I can't get away from it. I get more flack and more hard of time. People will respond worse, more angry when it's a dog compared to a child. That's fact. And I know other cases the same way. But what they're doing with dogs, they're putting vests on them now, which is soft body armor, which is great. It could save the dog's life too. And a lot of communities even had drives where you could donate to get a vest for the canines. And a vest on a canine is a great thing. I mean, a wonderful thing. And I always tell people, you want to run from that canine likes fast food. So if you run, that canine will go after some fast food. And let me tell you, he always gets his fast food. And they were great. You could argue with me. You could argue with another officer. You could argue with somebody. That dog is there. That dog, you know, he ain't going to argue with you. That dog, he wants you. You get out of line, you do something wrong. If you are an overt threat to anybody, that depending on how the dogs are trained, some of them are trained a certain way. Some are a bite and hold, some bite and release. And those dogs, they're not going to, they're not going to argue with you. They're going to go, you know, they're going to take things on. So, but they have the therapy dogs too, Caroline. In your line of work, how are those working? Would people have PTSD and serious cases? Does the dog?
I'm, Yeah, I am seeing a lot of that. I think one of the things that's fascinating, one of the things that's really common is nightmares. And what I'm hearing is that the dogs are actually trained to wake a person up. And so that's been really helpful for them. I think just having a companion that's an animal that's there to kind of respond to your anxiety, to pick up on those cues and try to comfort has been very helpful.
Yeah, and officers, I mean, I want people to understand what we were talking about a little bit. And I know Jimmy, he had some physical problems too. I remember some terrible from Agent Orange, where it was infecting the tops of his hands. It was terrible. He was wearing a glove, particularly one hand. I was calling him Michael Jackson at the time before Jackson died. But you know, some of the effects of that thing, things like that, are you never know. It bothers people. It stays with people. It doesn't go away from people. And our officers, you know, some of them are wound a little tight, but they've done things now. Like it's not only alcohol is no longer the thing. Alcohol with the younger cops is replaced by bubble water, or $4.50 cups of coffee, and they're into fitness. A lot of police agencies have fitness rooms. They could work out. They could throw some weights around. They got a treadmill. They could do some things to keep themselves fit. Some agencies, not all, will provide so many hours a month where the officers will come in there. They're required, and they got to meet certain standards. If this is a bona fide occupational qualification, if they start off that way and maintain certain standards to be on the police department, and they provide them with workout time. So there are some good things coming. Working out is a great way to release some of the stress and some of the things you have. But you know, Caroline, like you said, some of the memories I have of seeing things, nobody can ever erase that memory of seeing things. You know, it's there. It's always going to be there. It helps you if you talk with somebody, a professional counselor, therapist. In fact, there was a case in Illinois where a officer, she told, shared what she had with the therapist, and the therapist, it turned out it was a master's degree, not a psychologist, which meant it wasn't a privileged communication. And they were going to have the counselor. She said, "I'm not saying. I have a confidence. I don't care. The law said it. You know, it's not a privileged communication." And the judge thankfully said, "Well, the officer believed that. You, in essence, believe that. So we know this now. Any cases in the future, it's not going to happen." But you got to be careful, even when you talk, when officers say something, someone, it may be taken out of context, Caroline.
Right. I totally understand. I think, though, you know, that we, I mean, if you're a professional in this field, you kind of expect certain things to kind of come. I mean, like you were saying, if you're in a situation where if you do have to take somebody's life, you know, because they're threatening your own, I mean, guilt is a very common, you know, feeling that you're going to have, even though you're protecting yourself. But I think the more that you seek help, the sooner, the better that you really are. And I think that the tides are kind of, they are turning. I think both for military and I'm hoping even more with the police to be able to realize it's okay. I mean, if you're put in a situation where your life is a danger, you're going to experience something, and it's okay to talk about that.
And a lot of police agencies now require officers to go and talk to somebody. And the report or anything, it's like they have where they go to, I think, under the direction of a psychologist. But sometimes there's a therapist in there that isn't a psychologist. That's part of the team, I guess. And it's considered a privileged communication. And what goes on between the officer and talking about what happened doesn't go back to the department, which I have mixed feelings on. Because if you know you have an officer that's really unstable, that officer shouldn't be out there. It could affect some officers handle things in different ways. And if that officer is unstable and you can't tell the department, that's a bit of an issue. But I understand confidentiality too. You know, there aren't a lot of easy answers on this, Caroline, in what you're doing. You know what I'm talking about.
Well, and I think if it's to the level of a certain instability, then there would be an action that would be taken in the best interest to make sure that that everybody's life is going to be protected. But again, you know, in this profession, we're going to use our judgment to make sure that this is in the best interest of who we're serving, too, because we don't want to do more damage. We want to see them, you know, back and functioning again in their role.
You know, and there's got to be times, Caroline, and I know with when you're dealing with people and you're helping them through PTSD issues, that you go one way and then you find out one way this person took his life. And sometimes you kind of second-guess yourself. Well, what could I have did differently? And you know what? Probably, and that's that term that I love that term. What you did, was it reasonable? And I use that term all the time because it's not right or wrong sometimes. It's reasonable. There is no right or wrong. What you did, was it reasonable? And if the answer is yes, you can't second-guess yourself, plain and simple. You cannot second-guess yourself if it's reasonable. That's the issue. That's the issue. Stay with the issue. You can't second-guess. What you did in good faith, and you did with their... Now, when you're doing counseling people, Caroline, you're the priority, you put their needs above everybody else's. Am I not correct, or am I wrong in that?
No, that's absolutely correct.
And but there are times, though, where it's not going to succeed. Some of the best therapists, and they deal with people, and for whatever reason, it just didn't work.
I think the big thing is having an open relationship and not being afraid to ask people if they're having thoughts of harming themselves, because it's happening a lot. People go through horrible experiences. They do have suicidal ideations. And if it's caught and treated, it often is successful. And I think that's the biggest thing is talking about it sooner rather than later, because there is hope and there is help that is available.
Yeah, and now it's among police agencies now. I know it, and again, you also have a background with the military in addition to police agencies, but in police agencies now it's, you know, you're required. You could see a certain thing, you're required to go to counseling. And sometimes you deal with something, it's not required, but you'd request it, and they'll absolutely approve you go to counseling over a certain issue, because different people are affected in different ways. I mean, somebody could see something, like I said, the homicide people, some of them just, you know, put the wall up, and some of them take it to heart. The ones that take it to heart are the ones that end up with serious problems. The ones that put the wall up, I mean, some of these guys are so hardcore. I know some homicide cops and detectives, and tell you, they could almost have someone throw up in their mouth and it wouldn't bother them. They're that hardcore. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. But, I mean, you deal with that. When you deal with that, you deal with a sensitive crime area. I always had a problem that they have violent crimes, and one of them is sexual assaults. And a lot of cops I knew and still know some of them that had a problem when they see some children or a woman or a young lady or even an old 80-year-old woman are sexually assaulted. It really grinds away at them. They wish they could take the guy and hang him by his heels. What's the issue? When I look, though, you watch a movie and a cop like finds something like that happens and it shows him throw the guy out the window, you know, from six floors up or whatever, and everybody in the movie likes it. Yeah, I got that guy. You do that in real life, though. You can't do that in real life. What gets me is the hypocrisy of Hollywood. They're kind of anti-cop, but yet their movies are so horrible and violent. But that's different. That's because that's our artistic expression. BS. You know, it's what it comes down to. It's all about the money. And maybe I'm a little cynical. I don't think so. I think I'm a little realistic. And you live a certain length of time on the face of this earth, and if you keep your mind open, you should be able to read things a little bit better as you go on through life. But you're listening to Police Talk Radio. That's the name of the show. I'm your host, Ed Nowicki, on Police Talk Radio. And we've been talking with Caroline Allen, supporting our troops and their families. On Facebook, go to Supporting Our Troops and Their Families. Those wonderful things with people in the military and law enforcement. The thing she's doing, a wonderful, wonderful page on Facebook. Give it a look, and you can see what we're about. We have our own Police Talk Radio, but go to Police Supporter. That's where we get a little more active, on Police Supporter on Facebook, or go to our website, www.policesupporter.org. You want to give us a call here. You have something to say. When I get a guest like this, I don't pump the number up too much because I'm fascinated talking with Caroline. Our number here is 646-929-0909. Give us a call, 646-929-0909. You're listening to Police Talk Radio with Ed Nowicki. Caroline, when you look at the way things are, things better? Are things better as we go on with life? Are people that need services, are they getting better with it? Or are we finding, you know, I'll tell you what I noticed, when they cleared out the mental health institutions, I noticed big problem with a lot of street people and everything. Years ago, they would have been in a facility. They're not anymore.
Right. Yeah. No, I know in the 80s, institutionalization pretty much is over. It's a challenge. If you have somebody with psychosis, especially, you know, as a police officer dealing with that, that is a challenge. And it makes it really difficult because you're dealing with things so immediate. You don't really have that much time to sometimes make a call, especially if they have any kind of harm that they're demonstrating. So,
well, you know what? We kind of grabbed the bull by the horns. At least Caroline did. We had Thank a Police Officer Day last Saturday, September 19, 2015. All over the country, good things were happening for police officers. It happened. It should be happening more, but it did happen. We're working on other things. I think we have January 9th. It's Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, LEAD. So you got to have all these acronyms here, LEAD. And then we're looking at maybe on something like May 13th. On May 13th, they had the Candlelight Vigil at the National Police Memorial in Washington, D.C. Thousands of officers come from all over the country and really all over the world. I see the RCMP guys there. I see people from the constabularies from the various shires in Great Britain. It's just amazing. People from all over are there. I'm in awe. It's a spectacle. I went one time to that ceremony, and it affects different people in different ways. I got very emotional. And, you know, hard-headed, soft-hearted, or maybe it's both soft-headed, soft-hearted. But anyway, you get very emotional for some people. But we got to do something on May 16th, Caroline. Do something, because that's when the vigil, you know, thank the blue or you know, we appreciate the blue, or because they do have that candlelight vigil. And that's when they honor all the police officers in the prior year, in May 13th, 2016, they're going to honor all the line-of-duty deaths that occurred during 2015. Now, this includes felonious killings, officers killed, even, you know, jumping over a fence, die, heart attack when dealing with somebody, getting involved in a chase and cracking into a tree or something. Those cases, too, are line-of-duty deaths. They read the officer's name, they put them on the wall, And it's a very moving ceremony. Craig Floyd, the executive director, we're good friends. I talk to him on a somewhat regular basis, but great guy. Great. He's never been a police officer, but he didn't need to be a police officer. His heart is so good and wanting to do good, the best thing for police officers. Like you, Caroline, I think not having the police background, but having been involved with police like you are, I think that makes you a little bit more objective. I honestly do.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I'm just coming from a public perspective, but also trying to get the public a little bit more involved with showing their appreciation is, I think, very important, especially nowadays.
You know, and there is that anti-police tone. The support of the police from the White House, their silence is deafening.
It's shocking.
It is. It's deplorable, and I cannot... we're coming. I got a little pipeline here. I know I've been, my pipes have been rattling a little bit. We're coming up to the end of radio. I'm Ed Nowicki, your host, Caroline Allen. Go on Facebook to Supporting Our Troops and Their Families. Supporting Our Troops and Their Families. Wonderful place on Facebook. Give us a look on Facebook, Police Supporter. We're there also. The website, Police Supporter. Great shirts that book American Blue. I I'm prejudiced, but I really like it. And we'll be back next week for another edition of Police Talk Radio. What is this? This show seemed to last about 5 seconds, and we're done with it. I'll bid a fond adieu to you. I want to thank you out there, everybody. Take care, and more importantly, please stay safe.
Okay, guys, we're officially off the air, but it was a great show.
It was good. Very good, Ed.
Well, you know, Caroline, you were so good. And I get
a tendency
to talk a little bit. I got to learn to shut my mouth a little bit. But
no,
you were so good
it.
What you had to explain, and it was absolutely wonderful.
Good.
And thank you for, you know, what you did, Jimmy. Are you still with us, Junebug?
Yes. Yeah, I'm controlling the board, so I'm still here.
Caroline, she was the tip of the spear with Thank a Police Officer Day, and got everybody involved and sent things out. And she was the, you know, she cracked the whip and was the cheerleader all at once. And one of the good things with Facebook, I got to affiliate with different people, but the best connection I've had with Facebook, because we're friends also, is Caroline. And Caroline, I can't thank you enough for your friendship and your, more importantly, what you're doing for the police community. You are an inspiration. You are absolutely a wonderful lady, Caroline. I can't say enough good things about you. You know that.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
I'm
doing my best. Yeah.
No, you
got a lot of work to do, more for the police than the veterans. I think they're a little bit more progressed. It's like we're back in Vietnam for the police.
You know, and you get cases like, you know, what happened to Officer Goforth, execution at the gas pump. What happened to that deputy sheriff yesterday, executed,
yeah.
Served him with a paper at his attorney's office, comes out there, the POS stands behind the cop and shoots him in the back of the head and in the back,
yeah.
Execution style. And we're seeing, you know, if we get officers in a gun battle, that you know, you almost, it's a bad thing, but you understand it a little bit more. But these issues that happen with executions, I'll tell you, and you're a cop, you don't know what, and they got, I posted that one thing from that death to all crackers. I posted on Police Supporter. I don't know if you've seen that video clip. What a horrible thing. But, you know, even though it's that horrible, I think both you and I at times have an obligation to tell the whole truth, even the bad stuff. People need to see this too, because I don't think a lot of people have an understanding really of what cops go through. And that's why I am such a proponent of the Citizens Police Academy. They are absolutely wonderful things for people. You learn so much, and you aren't trained fully as a police officer, but you're trained enough where you get to an understanding of putting yourself in their shoes.
I've been invited to a ride-along, so we'll see how that one goes.
Oh, that's good. Ride-alongs are good. They'll tell you what to do, and they'll tell you probably stand back or whatever. And am I getting a sign from Junebug here? I'm going to let you guys go. Jimmy, you know I love you, brother. You know that. Caroline, I love you, too, for all what you're doing for law enforcement. I want you to know that.
You take care. Thank you.
Okay. You stay safe, young lady.
Okay.
Stay with me. Dad, stay with me.
All right, Jimmy. All right.
I want to see if you recognize this, because this was – I didn't get to it because Caroline was talking. It was a pretty good show, but hang on.
I thought we had a great show. I talked too much, though.
Here's what I wanted to play for you. Next week, I think we ought to offer a free T-shirt to anybody that can identify the person that's talking.
All right.
They shall embrace charity. They shall love mercy and walk humbly with my God in trying to give the people of Chicago the best government and the best city in the United States. You can see the future pattern of Chicago. We're hopeful of closed streets and residential areas, and make malls out of them. We hope to have every school with a playground alongside of it, and we hope to provide employment and jobs for the men and women that live in our city, and above all, we hope to root out poverty, we hope to eliminate the slums, and we hope to provide equality of education and opportunity for all of our people. And this we think we can achieve, and with the help of God, we will. We respect the constitutional rights and the human rights of everyone, but no one will take the law in their own hand or be law and order in Chicago as long as I'm mayor.
That's the mayor, Papa Doc.
Yeah, I thought you'd like
that. That's not Baby Doc, that's Papa Doc.
Yeah, I know who it is.
And
I shall embrace charity. I shall.
You know what line I'd love to have from the 68th Democratic National Convention? The police aren't here to create disorder. The police are here to preserve disorder.
I'll find it. Let me call you back.
You remember that line?
Yes, I do. Let me call you back on the phone.
All right, I'll talk to you, brother. All right.